Well, another good morning to all of you. It's great to have you present with us in person, but it is also great to have you with us if you're streaming live with us through Facebook or maybe watch our service later on YouTube. But it is great that you have chosen to share and worship God with us. Do you know anyone who loves to argue? I guess so. You know, for some people, it seems that they will argue and argue and argue regardless of what anyone else says, especially if they're 15 years old. Well, in my house, my wife and I have kind of a fun ongoing argument. And this argument has to deal, what is the shortest distance between two points? And we'll make it easy on you. We'll make it multiple choice. Is it always a diagonal, always a straight line, or C, both are right? Well, Carla, and trust me, I already told Carla I was going to talk about her today. That's the hard part about being a pastor's wife, pastor's kid. They talk about you all the time. But Carla says it's always a diagonal. And in the previous case, she's completely right. But what about this situation? What do you think? What is the shortest distance between two points? Is it always a diagonal, always a straight line, or Carla is always right? Well, in my house, you know what the answer is. But in other situations, there are times when both people can be correct at the same time, depending on their vantage point. In this case that you see here, one person sees a 6, the other person sees a 9. Who was right and who was wrong? And there are times when both people are only partially right and both completely miss the truth. Often people only see what they want to see. And in this case, one person sees the profile of a rectangle and the other sees a profile of a circle. Yet neither of them have the whole truth, do they? Because the truth is, the object is a cylinder. It seems today it is harder and harder to find the real truth. Have you ever seen a good debate? I mean, a really good one. A debate is a process that involves formal discourse, discussion, and oral addresses on a particular topic or collection of topics, often with a moderator and an audience. In a debate, arguments are put forward in an intelligible, articulate manner in order to make a compelling case for one's ideas or beliefs. Excuse me. In ancient times, great philosophers like Socrates used to meet in large public venues and hold great debates. Now, today, our political debates have gone south. Nobody ever seems to answer a question, and the only thing they seem to be good at is talking over the other person and criticizing them with empty and meaningless statistics. In fact, here's a picture of one of the most recent debates. Now, all jokes aside, we as Christians need to know something about the truth. The real truth, God's truth. And unfortunately, many Christians are woefully ignorant of God's truth. In 1 John, we are given this warning and command from 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You and I have a responsibility to keep people from twisting God's word. Because you notice he said, dear friends. He didn't say, dear pastors, dear educated, dear whatever. He said, dear friends. We all have a responsibility. Today, there are more and more false teachings being allowed in our churches. And people are allowing the perversion of truth to infiltrate doctrines that have stood for 2,000 years. But twisting God's word is nothing new. The word of God has been twisted and used to deceive people from the beginning. We can go back to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Satan loves to prey on people. Did God really say that? Because he loves to prey on people and their lack of knowledge of what God did really say. Do you know how many times I've heard people say, "Did God really say that? Or is that in the Bible?" We should really consider this verse from 1 Trinity 3:5. God helps those who help themselves, for this too shall pass. Don't you just love that sentiment? Well, even better than knowing what is in the Bible or not knowing what's in the Bible is when people say things from the Bible that are not in the Bible. I heard some of you murmuring, yes, there is no book called First Trinity. And while both of these phrases sound good, neither phrase comes directly from Scripture, but we love to throw those things around, don't we? Well, I think the Bible says, do you think or do you know? There's a difference, isn't there? We hear things and we want to believe them because they sound good. But we as Christians need to be diligent about knowing God's word. The world loves to pick and choose and then misuse. Pick and choose and then misuse. I was having a discussion with a person not too long ago. This person considers themselves to be enlightened, educated, highly intelligent. You know, one of those people. And this person does not believe in God. And in his argument, he said, "Well, I have read the Bible." Well, let me tell you something. As soon as somebody states with arrogance, "Well, I have read the Bible," be ready to hear some absurd conclusions. Because I can tell you they have not read the Bible. And guess what? If you don't know God's word, if you do not know God's truth, then bad things can happen. Number one, if you don't know God's word, you can fall into a trap and begin to believe things that will lead you to sin and away from God. That's not good. And I think this is even more dangerous. You can lead others into a trap who will begin to believe things that will lead them to sin and away from God. False teachings are dangerous. It's not what we want to believe. It's not what we think or what we feel. God's truth is God's truth. Like so many people believe that all good people go to heaven. So many people believe it doesn't matter what God you follow because they all lead to the same one. And these are just two examples of false teachings that lead to an eternal death. Or in more simpler terms, believing in false teachings can lead you straight to hell. John gives us some parameters that we can use. Back to 1 John 4. He says, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Those of you who like to play the Revelation game is waiting for one great Antichrist. There isn't one great Antichrist. Antichrist existed at the time John wrote this. Antichrist have existed ever since. And there are teachers in our seminaries today that are teaching that Jesus was not human. Or the opposite, that he was only human. The world wants us to believe Jesus was just a good man or just a good prophet. Or that he was just a spirit from God or an angel that looked like a human. Some people think that Jesus is just a story made up by other men. And as Christians, there are many truths that we must believe about Jesus. We must believe that he is part of the Holy Trinity. That means Jesus is God. We believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born from the Virgin Mary. We believe that Jesus lived perfectly and without sin. We believe that Jesus himself was crucified, that he died a physical death, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and that he will come again in final victory. And you see, if we vary from these truths or other truths, the truth is our faith falls apart. We have to believe all these things about Jesus, or Jesus cannot be our Savior. And John goes on to teach us, 1 John 4. You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Well, who is in us? Well, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. But the Holy Spirit is also God. Remember, the Trinity, the triune God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit then is greater than Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. Satan is a created being. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Creator. The Creator is greater than its creation. And through the gift of salvation, we can be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And I believe this is why so many churches are in decline. They are no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. They rely solely on tradition, solely on attendance, solely on just being good. And they forget that they are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe here at Zion, we are seeing the Holy Spirit at work. I believe there are people being moved by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if we let go of ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to completely fill us, that we will see great and amazing things beyond our comprehension. The scripture tells us that in the end, God wins. We do not have to wait for that victory. Because through the Holy Spirit, we can triumph over Satan day after day after day after day. And John goes on to say in verse 5, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We all think the Antichrist is some guy who's going to come like Hitler and just be completely obliterating. I'll tell you, the worst Antichrist are the ones who profess to be from God, who are out there preaching on television and on the internet and all over the world falsehoods and leading people into a false assurance that they have salvation. But what we need to do is we need to continue on this path that we have started. A path where we hold on to God's truth. And we stand up and stand against the ways of the world. Because the ways of the world lead to sin and destruction. And finally, verse 6, we read, we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. when we know God's word, when we preach God's word, when we teach God's word, and more importantly, when we live out God's word, because saying it means nothing if we're not living it. Your actions speak louder than words, right? I think that's in First Trinity 2, by the way. Then anyone who opposes the truth has a spirit of falsehood. And why? Why is all of this important? Because of Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You see, in our lives, we are either leading people to Christ or we're leading people away from Christ. And that means the opposite is true as well. We are either leading people to hell or we are leading people away from hell. And that is the real truth, people. There's only two alternatives to our eternal ending. Too many of us are obsessed with worldly things, and too many of us are woefully ignorant of our own faith. I'll bet most of you have something you know a lot about. Easy ones are sports nuts. I'll bet you know what time the game is on today. I'll bet you know that they are 1-3 and that this is a must-win game, right? Some of you probably know who's on the injury list, and some of you probably know what the odds are. But how many of you know what the Great Commission is? And if sports is not your thing, maybe you know something about crafts and sewing. Some of you know the ins and outs of different sewing machines and different needles and different stitches, and you know where to get the best materials and the best patterns. But what do you know about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ? Or maybe you're into politics or cars or anything else of this world that you know something about. You're a subject matter expert. You know what happened in last week's episode, and you got to guess what's going to happen next week's episode, don't you? But what do you know about the prophecies of the end days? We cannot just be bystanders in our faith. This was not a game that we're decided to sit in the stands or on the sidelines and do nothing. We need to get into the game. Every one of us need to be in the game. And we need to know as much as we can about our faith. We need to understand our faith. We need to live out our faith. Because we do not want to fall into the trappings of sin or allow others to fall into the trappings of sin. Instead, we want to lead others into faith in Jesus Christ instead of leading people away from faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have revealed yourself to us in so many ways. Your truth has been brought to us through your prophets. Your truth has been brought to us through your angels. But more importantly, Lord, your truth has been brought to us through your Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of your holy word. And although we may be able to point out a few errors that we have made in our translations, by and large, we still see your whole truth. We see that you are a great and powerful God, a God of all light, a God of no darkness, a God of no evil, a God of holiness and righteousness, but a God of grace and love. And Lord, through your powerful words, you created us. And through your Holy Spirit, you breathed into us life. Lord, we give you grateful praise for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the holy redemption that he brings to us through our repentance, our confession, and our surrender. But Lord, all too often, we stay at that point, and we don't grow. We don't nourish on your word. And all too often we're easily swayed back to worldly ways and worldly thinking. Lord, I ask today that you open the hearts of people here today for them to see what they need to see, for them to hear what they need to hear. May they surrender themselves to the Holy Spirit so that through your leading and your guiding, they may see where they need to step forward in their life. Maybe they need to spend more time reading your word. Maybe they need to spend more time in prayer discerning your word. Maybe they need to spend more time living out your word. But Lord, whatever it is, place it on their hearts, the very word, the very truth that you have for them today. But Lord, most importantly, may we accept your truth. Because when we receive your truth, we cannot help but to be transformed. Lord, let us live a transformed life. And although we may not be perfect today, let us be on a path of going towards perfection. Allow us to become the image that you created us to be, the image of you, the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. People, we need to live and breathe by the Word of God. That means we need to study it. We need to know it. We need to learn it. And if you don't know where a Bible verse comes from, guess what? Do what I do. Google. Type in scripture and whatever you think comes after it, and guess what will pop up? It'll tell you where it's at. And then go to the Bible. Don't just trust Google, please. But then go to the Bible. And guess what? There's a lot of great online Bibles. Use your printed Bible. Use your online Bible. I don't care which one you're using, but use it. And understand that a lot of people lived and died so that you can have the Holy Scriptures. A lot of great and intelligent people argued and wrestled, what is the true Word of God? What is not the true Word of God? And somewhere in 300 AD, they came together and they said, this is a canon of truth. Here's some good writings here, here's some good writings there, but they are not the inspired Word of God. John Wesley believed, you know what? There could be an error or two in here from scribal errors and translations, but you know what? Everything necessary for salvation is contained in the Word of God. And folks, that's what we need to take out with us. It needs to be your guidebook. It needs to be your playbook. It needs to be your operator's manual. It needs to be everything in your life. If you have a question, I'm available. Text me. Email me. I email back, don't I, Doris? Doris says, Pastor, you said this. I got a question or a statement or another opinion about it. And we have a wonderful, healthy discussion about what we think and what we believe. But you know what it does? It deepens our understanding and it makes us hold on to our faith even better because we love and support each other and nurture each other. And that's how we are to live with the Word of God as our lamp and a light unto our feet. Leave here knowing that you have heard the truth of God. May you leave here prepared to defend the truth of God. And may we always stand for the truth. Leave here as God's wonderful, loved, and holy people. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.